back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. Normally, that's how we start. I'm not just saying that conversationally.
Why did you give a 3-2-1?
Andy returning with a bang.
3-2-1.
There was no 3-2-1 there.
Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar here with for this movie, I should say.
Special guest.
I, Alex Dunbar, am here with Brian Muir.
Van Helsing! I'm sorry, wrong movie.
Andy Wolf.
Good to be here.
Wow, it's really formal. Okay.
Yes. Great to have you,
thanks
Andy.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming
looking
on.
Looking forward to it.
Anyway, Cody Wolf.
My name's Adam.
And Jack Estebrock.
I really like your place, but I think you need a new interior decorator or something. Surf Pro needs to come in here and clean this place up.
Oh, they should have sponsored this movie. This whole movie looks like they need Surf Pro. Our movie this week is I, Frankenstein, or might be One Frankenstein, depending on how you read the
That's
title.
True. And the next one will be Roman numeral 2 Frankenstein.
One comma Frankenstein.
I Frankenstein.
Or eyeball, like E-Y-E. I Frankenstein. or like
it's a Jewish movie about Frankenstein.
Or he's like a pirate on a ship. I Frankenstein.
What's all this talk about Frankenstein? We bring him back from the dead. He's an asshole.
This is the Frankenstein sequel to Mary Shelley's novel that no one asked for.
Oh, it's a sequel.
This picks up literally where the book left off. This is literally like a day later.
This is like the Halloween 2 to, you know, it picks up exactly where Mary Shelley's book ends up, with the monster being tracked across the Arctic by Dr. Frankenstein. And as the monster explains it to us, here's the thing. It was cold. Dr. Frankenstein, not prepared for the cold. Monster was prepared for the cold, so Dr. Frankenstein freezes to death in a very anticlimactic ending, really.
I hunted the beast across thousands of miles and then died from frostbite.
If the monster hates Dr. Frankenstein so much, why would he bother carrying him on his back all the way from the Arctic back to Switzerland to bury him?
It's how the book ended. Because it's his father, and even though he chased him across and he's trying
it's
to kill him.
It's always going to be his father.
When he died, he was still upset because his creator is dead.
I have a bigger question.
Did he carry him?
Which makes sense in the book.
Carry him, yeah. I have a bigger question about the monster then carries Dr. Frankenstein back to Austria, presumably hundreds of miles, as I would understand it.
Yeah.
Never noticing during this hundreds of miles journey by foot carrying another body that Dr. Frankenstein has a giant ass book in his pocket. Because that's what the movie wants us to believe, right?
Yes. And it's very important to the plot.
And it's central to the plot that Frankenstein's monster does not even realize that there is a book that Dr. Frankenstein was carrying. Okay. So Frankenstein wants to bury... I'm sorry, Frankenstein's monster. The monster wants
Adam.
To, yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well,
not
I believe they called
oh, yeah, he's
I,
not
I
Adam.
I believe he
yet.
Was called Adam in the book, though. I think someone called him Adam in the book.
Oh, okay.
I think that
came from the book. Yeah, I haven't read the book in 20
years. Apparently the gargoyle's in the book.
Spoiler alert, someone names him Adam, and henceforth will be referred to as such in the movie, except by the bad guy.
You can't figure that out.
Couldn't figure that one out.
Really? Because when they said it, I was hoping someone's going to be like, get it?
Adam.
Get it?
It's Adam.
I think Eugene would have been nice.
What one?
Eugene.
I'm surprised they didn't name the doctor.
You know what they should have done? They should have thrown us for a loop and called him Dracula.
Ooh, oh, wow. That would have been a real twist.
No one would be expecting that.
Right, well, nor would they expect a lot of what's coming up in this movie. Because as the monster goes to bury Dr. Frankenstein, for no reason, a bunch of demons decide to attack Frankenstein.
But they don't
monster.
Say that they're demons straight up. It's just like he just gets jumped by these vampire-like things.
Right, in a cemetery. Later,
now, this was in the book as well, right?
Well, see, the whole thing, here's my defense.
Yes, it is happening.
As I will say, as I've said in other movies on the podcast.
It's a comic book movie?
It's a graphic novel. It's based on a graphic novel.
Excuse me while I refute this for a second. This is based on a graphic, no, this is tied into a graphic novel, much as some other movies have done. This was in development as a movie prior to any issues of the graphic novel being put out.
Bang.
Was it really?
Yes. Okay. This was developed as a movie first, and then
you just ruined my whole defense.
I know.
You're under abject.
Sorry, we just really Perry Masoned you on that one.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So it was developed as a movie first. So yes. This plot line was a movie first.
Yes.
Oh.
Another case closed, Alex.
Yeah. But because it takes quicker to release a graphic novel, novel came out first.
I should research these things.
They basically put out a graphic novel in order to say. Based on a graphic novel, there was no.
Wow, what a stinky ass movie that!
Wow, the tides have turned. Holy Andy Wolf, no longer on this movie side.
No, I thought it was a graphic novel. I usually give some leeway to video game movies or graphic novels. Like, okay, that's how it was in a graphic novel. In the graphic novel world,
a difference,
this would work. Well, in a graphic novel world, this would work. You know, you expect that kind of fantasy.
That's why you read the graphic novel and not watch the movie.
And you can okay, or a video game. You're trying to.
I bet you the novel is still better than the movie.
Well, probably, and if just to set the table a little bit, we're already into the movie, but this is from the guy who was behind the obviously, to anyone who's seen this movie, this is not going to be a shock that the guy who made this was also behind the Underworld movies, and he basically was like, "Ooh, I need a new franchise." So
so makes Frankenstein's monster a superhero.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's like replace vampires and werewolves with gargoyles and demons and insert a superhero Frankenstein into it, and this is like Underworld 8. I don't know what
it even has the same villain as Underworld.
Yes. And a lot of the same actors. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who's in the movie, I'm really jumping ahead, poor man's Michael Clark Duncan. That's the writer. That's the writer. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think he would have given himself a better
that character.
You'll be the drug throat.
I know.
His death was very...
his death was very anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was incredibly anticlimactic.
How do I kill off myself?
I couldn't stand that freaking voice.
I gotta be able to do that.
That would almost be annoying to have a voice that low.
No.
Can you imagine it's like day to day?
I'd like to make a doctor's appointment, please. I'm having pain in my lower back.
Everyone thinks you're joking all the time.
So Excuse me, sir. This is a doctor's office.
This isn't a voiceover session, sir. Could you clean it up? Yeah. So Frankenstein's monster trying to bury Dr. Frankenstein. Demons are like, hey,
don't
get
do
him.
That.
I don't know what they're even right, going for. They have no.
Apparently, they know that the book is in Frankenstein's pocket.
They know.
No, they don't, because at one point they are just the demons are just going.
They have to do that. They were targeting
someone
him.
Someone later is like, "Hey, there's a book in this pocket." They had no idea. They're like, "Hey, check out this giant book."
That's so heavy, and it's like a 5,000-page.
I think they were looking for him.
Oh, maybe
because
they were
looking
for
the
monster.
And then they discover there's a book with all the secrets in it anyways.
Something like that.
Okay.
So they don't need him.
Either
so,
way, I don't know why.
Because then the gargoyles come in and take
him. Well, it doesn't matter because all these demons get killed and burst into flame.
Right.
And then these two gargoyles transform into these two people.
Yes.
And they're like wearing leather and they're looking at Aaron Eckhart and they're like,
"Let's get it.
Oh my god, this creature has never, no one's ever descended demons before. This creature can't be human, he's too ugly." Then it cuts to a shot of Aaron Eckhart. You know what the monster looks like? Aaron Eckhart with a vertical slash in his face. Yeah. Like, they're talking about how hideous he is.
No, Harvey Dent would have made more, that would have been a better look.
Oh my god, this is Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
After he didn't really die in that.
He healed a little bit more.
Got his plastic surgery back. He does not look very monstrous.
He looks more like Frankenstein's monster in Dark Knight.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it's not bad. He's like upgrade. This is more like Aaron Eckhart playing One Face.
It's not interesting. Because the whole movie, his anger comes from, like in the book, that no one is accepting him because he's a monster, because he looks like a monster, but he doesn't look like a monster. He looks like Aaron that got cut on the face.
It's actually kind of badass more than anything.
Yeah.
Because chicks get scars.
But that's what I'm saying. In the book, he's hideous, and in the movie. And
then when we do our time lapse, our unnecessary time lapse, which I know we're going to get to at some point, I hope we do, the scars fade even more.
True. I hope we get to that time lapse. Boy, we're only like 5 minutes. We're done. If we don't get to that, we've got problems.
We're not going to make it.
I mean, mention it.
But I think that's what bugged me the most is he's angry the whole movie because he's a monster and he's not like anyone else, but he looks like everyone else.
Well,
so
no, he's not
angry.
He's a monster more or less. He's angry because
he says at one point he says I'm a monster.
He's not human and he doesn't have a soul.
There's members of the
guard. No, he says at one point he says I'm a monster and the woman's like, "You're only a monster if you act like a monster."
Well, I said, that.
And then that same woman then proceeds to treat him like trash.
There's a member of the Gargoyle clan that doesn't like him because he's a monster. Calls him it and things of that nature.
Right. And by member of the Gargoyle clan, you mean John McClane Jr.
Yeah, coming back.
Whatever
for
that
more
actor's name is, he's in this movie. So, okay, so these gargoyles come to life, and these, and as Cody said earlier, there's a conversation with these gargoyles, are like, hey, we fight demons. We've never seen anyone else kill a demon. You know what we should do? Kidnap that guy who likes to do the same thing we like to do, and we should treat him terribly.
They chain him up, and he wakes up.
And he's and for the first of many times in this movie, Frankenstein's like, what? What am I doing wrong? I'm helping you.
But they know he's Frankenstein's monster.
They do.
They know that.
Right. Somehow they know that.
And also know he killed...
Because of the book.
They know he killed...
They read Mary Shelley's book.
They were familiar.
They thought it was pretty good.
They cut to the rec room at the Gargoyle Castle, and they're all reading Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It's like the Harry Potter of that time.
And they're the ones who actually take the book, and they're like, hey, look at this giant book that was in Dr. Frankenstein's pocket. Let's take it back to our Gargoyle Castle.
Also, I'm just wondering now, the gargoyles, I'm assuming the gargoyles are like the... For you know, the enemies of the demons, like forever, they've always been a war between the gargoyles and demons. Why would they attack the monster in a churchyard with gargoyles all around? Why not attack him like in the middle of the Antarctic or whatever when he's trudging through the ice looking for
that's a great question.
He's vulnerable?
When there's no gargoyles around.
They became aware of him.
The gargoyles seemed totally unaware of this
until the demons showed up.
Right, yeah. Right. They had no stake
Maybe
in
they
this.
Have somehow right. they have some demon dar where they like sense the demons like, and then they
demon dar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and another thing I want to mention right now about the gargoyles in this movie, there's like no consistency in their I can't believe I'm bringing up this point, but there's no consistency in their biology, I guess, because sometimes they look like humans who are dressed like it's Spartacus. Sometimes they look like stone gargoyles who don't move and are just perched on buildings. And sometimes they look like CGI gargoyle monsters who are moving about. And they seem to interchange at random regardless as to what the scene... basically what the scene might need.
It
so
was
it's
kind
like
of
they've
like
got these three forms.
Gargoyles. It was sort of like a production designer was like, I like 300, but I also like that Disney animated show Gargoyles. Can it be both? Someone's like, well, no. Well, okay, fine.
But we'll make it, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my question, too, is they take him back to the Gargoyle
Palace?
Yes, Gargoyle Palace.
The Institute.
Is this palace in the middle of London?
That's what we're talking about afterwards.
That's a great question. This makes...
We don't even know what country this is in.
Yeah, what happens later on makes no freaking sense, then, if this is in London.
I don't think this is in London.
It can't be.
Or any major city.
I think you're in Austria.
All right, but it's a major city with
it's
humans.
It's a major city.
I thought it was Switzerland.
But were there humans living in that city?
I don't know.
I don't... That's what I'm wondering, because...
Here's the other thing.
Later on, they keep saying... The humans don't know, but then there's this massive battle going on with like fire and
no humans in the city.
Like, but the city's
like,
around
no,
it.
There's no cops. There's no ambulance.
Yeah, news crews don't show up. Not like that.
We have not seen an emptier city since right. Masters of the Universe.
Where we just jumped ahead, there's demon battles in the streets and there's never anybody
left.
And they're not hiding. It's not like this is happening like in some other realm, like in Mortal Instruments, where only certain people can see it.
Well, I didn't know. Maybe it was.
That could have been
the same universe.
Yeah.
It could be that just these people are like,
giant
I don't know, there's
the
a huge palace in the middle of our city.
Which is,
who knows?
Which is literally like, down there. Yeah. Which is literally like 3 blocks away from where the bad guy's business is. Because later on, they like walk from the palace to his...
They walk.
The whole time, he's literally 3 blocks away.
Their demon dar was off on that
and
one.
And they didn't know where it was.
Well, they don't seem to leave the castle.
So anyways, let's
these
get back
gargoyles.
To it. So to get back, we're so off track.
Okay. So
they bring out, they bring the monster back to the palace where they
conveniently explain their
they fight about whether or not they should kill him or make him one of them, I guess.
Yes.
And the queen gargoyle is...
The high queen of the gargoyle order.
Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings.
I would just like to interject with one thing. Four of us went to see this in a movie theater, and Andy saw it on his own. This was one of the first times all of us in the movie theater laughed out loud just when they said, you will now meet the High Queen of the Gargoyle Order. We all just, like, that was it. I couldn't hold it in anymore.
Basically, every time they said gargoyle, I laughed.
Yeah.
The sacred altar of the gargoyles.
So the queen's like, okay, well, we're not going to kill him. We're going to make him one of us because he can fight demons. So she's like, take him to the weapon room.
Oh, I love this.
This is the point where she names him Adam. She takes pity on the monster and she gives him a name. They unchain him, and this is where they go to the arsenal.
Yep.
But does it really matter about arsenal? Because apparently you can put this little icon on anything and use it as a weapon.
Well, you can. Little... Well, it's just, the scene so, is so
this
well,
it's funny, and Jack pointed out where you're watching, it's funny because he picks up like these two big sticks. And,
and we should say too, it's a room full of weapons. Right.
Like swords, spears, axes, halberds, maces, anything you could think of.
And he picks up these two big sticks and the John McClane son is like, those are too heavy. Those aren't good weapons.
He just flat out says, you don't want those. Yeah. To which point, Jack in the movie theater goes, why are they in the middle of the room?
Why are they in your arsenal?
Yeah.
It's like they're decorative pieces.
It's like walking into a car dealership and they're like, don't get that one in the showroom. You don't want that one.
Like, it's not, those aren't effective weapons. Yeah.
And he proceeds to use that for hundreds of years quite successfully.
Those are his weapons. Yeah. But then so then they just say, like, okay, leave.
They just let him go.
They give him a couple weapons, and he takes off.
With a keynote, by the way, they say to him, if you ever change your mind, if you ever want to come back, you are welcome here. As we will see very soon, not welcome. Not welcome at all.
It's like that person who says, like, yeah, wait, call me anytime if you're in town.
Come on, and that's not welcoming. They like... chain you down to the floor and put a bracelet around your neck. That's welcoming.
Tinky.
Hey, Adam, how you been?
Well, what happens is he goes into the mountains.
Yeah, he walks off on his own.
Highlander style, there's like a montage of him flipping his weapons around on a cliff. And then all of a sudden, he walks into town, and all of a sudden, it's 2014.
Well, it fades from...
Oh, I love when he walks into town, too. It's like... The town has changed. It's like, really?
In 200 years.
Yeah. Well, he's not amazed by anything.
Yeah.
When it fades from olden days to modern day, I just hear Alex go, "What?" I don't know if you didn't see that coming. Or...
And Frankenstein's now wearing a hoodie. Yeah. He's just under the pretense of this movie. Frankenstein spent 200 years just chilling in the woods, and then was like, I think I'll go into town now.
He's got to get some cigarettes.
It's been long enough.
I would have liked to have seen the scenes of him, like, after, like, 150 years, finally, like, going to a clothing store and getting that.
Because you would
think... Well, I guess it's time to update the old wardrobe.
You would think this is going to be a fish out of water story, right? With Frankenstein's monster in modern society? No.
He's never ostracized because of his looks.
At all. He is totally comfortable with everything that's going on in modern society. To the point where I thought he had an iPod and like with his hood.
That's what I was saying to you. There's no season now, like having a cell phone ring and having like, what the frick is that?
He's just
walking down the street. The city has changed.
No shit. Yeah.
And something like a fire hydrant you'd think would freak him out. I thought that this part of the film was completely pointless because what's the first thing that happens when he comes back into town?
He finds a demon.
He gets attacked by demons.
Well, he finds him too.
Well, no, he goes into the demon nightclub.
Is it a demon nightclub?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have to have a goth nightclub sequence.
Yep. I don't know if everyone...
That's another scene from Underworld that they repeated. Yep.
Yep. Yep. There's nothing original in this. Well, Underworld is not even really that original, and then any originality that had is immediately ripped off by this.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the nightclub and he attacks a demon. And I don't know if everyone in this nightclub is a demon or.
Yeah, the demon walks out, and then there's two at the table, and they follow him. I don't know what he's doing.
He chases them out. He's trying to kill them.
He's just
going to
hunt demons.
He's like, hey, I'm Frankenstein's monster, demon hunter.
Yeah,
you know, that's my job. I have the proper licensing. Then after I have insurance.
I have a license to kill.
I'm insured demons. To do this.
And does he kill the demon? Something happens.
Well, he runs out. The demon runs and he chases the demon down. And he gets him in an alley and he's like holding him in the alley. He's going to kill him. He's trying to get information out of him.
Because he wants and, like, to find the big boss demon.
Right. Yeah.
Where's the Joker?
Prince Lucian or whatever his name is.
And the one human in town, a cop, comes into the alley and he's like, the one cop on the horse.
Human, right? Yeah.
He's like, you know, get away here, you know, step away from him or whatever.
Put your hands, reach for the sky, monsters.
And the demon rushes him and kills him, and then Frankenstein chases him again.
And then he ends up trying
to find Prince Nibirius.
Prince Nibirius, that's his name. Yeah. And then he ends up getting caught by the gargoyles again.
You guys
and the exact same
Prince
sequence
Nibirius.
Happens where he wakes up and he's chained up by the gargoyles.
Yeah, the gargoyles.
Like, literally, it's the exact... So
the gargoyles then kidnap him and go, hey, this all needs to be done... We kill demons too, but when we do it, we're really quiet about it. By the way, gargoyles, not quiet about it ever. We never see a gargoyle quietly.
You mean an aerial and street fight that involves thousands of people?
Yeah.
Fire
right outside
from
your
the
castle
sky.
In the middle of town?
So
the whole fight looks like a heavy metal album.
They have Frankenstein's monster now chained up.
Oh, is this where... Okay. Is this a scene where he I think he hits the monster or something, the demon he's chasing. And it's just funny because he, like, hits him and he, like, wounds him or whatever. And then he goes to Bill Nighy, Prince Nibirius, and his, well, his corporation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And he's, and he's like, talking to him. He's like, it was like, I don't know why it was so funny, but he says to the prince, he's like, I think I wounded it. And then he turns to Michael Clark Duncan. Yes. He goes, I think it's wounded. Yeah. It's like this, like, weird, like.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh.
I don't know if it was supposed to be funny or
did
what.
Did you hear that? It's wounded.
It's like, yeah. I think I wounded it.
And we should mention, too, so
down.
Bill Nighy is like the CEO slash head vampire slash head demon of some giant corporation. And he has the Yvonne, I'm gonna mispronounce her last name, like Yvonne Krasinski. Yeah, yeah, the girl from Chuck is a scientist working on reanimating things.
The scientist with a heart of gold.
Heart of gold.
And an apartment of sewage.
We'll get to that.
And she's human.
She is human.
And her
she's one of three humans.
Right, the only three. Yes. Yeah, the one's dead already.
Right.
Well, there's two scientists.
Must be through the roof.
There's
in
two
that
scientists
town,
and the cop.
There's
are
only
basically
a few people. And they have to pay all like,
the carrying the whole burden. And they're trying to reanimate a rat. They seem to only have one tool, which is electricity. Like this basically turns into like an episode of Star Trek. Like more power. It's not working. More power. It's not working. More power. You might break it. Give me more power.
They break it.
It worked. Right. You broke it. And the rat is alive. Right. You're like, oh, okay, so in the pretense of this movie, all you need to do to reanimate things is just put more and more electricity juice into it. And it's that's they're working in reanimation for, I don't know. He's
well,
like
it's reanimated.
They don't say yet, but he wants to make a demon army, so he needs to figure out how to reanimate corpses because demons can only possess live bodies.
Well, yes. Without souls.
Without souls.
Without souls.
So, wait, so how did the
that's
demons...
That's why, because they have to be dead because then their souls
now,
are...
Now, how did the demons end up on Earth in the first place? This is something I'd like to know right now, because I thought demons possess people, and that's how they end up on Earth. But then you kill... They never mention that in the movie, but this is just my assumption there. Then you kill a demon, and he doesn't die. He gets descended, meaning... Oh, crap, I got to get back down to Earth again. Like you lose in a video game, you got to start back at the beginning. So the demon gets descended. Now he's got to start again. Wouldn't he just possess another corpse? Why does the corpse have to be...
It has to be reanimated.
Why don't they just possess at any time? Why isn't Adam possessed?
It has to be alive, and it has to not have a soul.
Yeah, it has to be alive and not have a soul. And I think they're saying that the demons that get descended are going to hell.
But how did they end up on Earth in the first place? They would have had to have escaped from that same hell.
Right. Right.
And how do they take on, if they could just take on corporeal form?
You're overthinking.
Yeah. Honestly, Jack.
Well, I just assume two demons do their little demon deed and
sometimes
little demon
go,
is born.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Well, all right. Jack, you put more thought into this than anyone affiliated with this movie ever did.
Do you think the demons have sex in their human form or their demon form? Or do you think they get crazy and one, like, one's demon and
one's
human?
That's the way I would go with it.
Okay.
This way I imagine it, anyway.
You answered that really fast, by the way. You were
that's
right on.
About
right
now.
I thought about last night. It's funny you brought that up. Last night during the movie, I'm like, well, I wonder if, you know.
Try it out.
Wow.
Hey, baby, you want to descend with me?
Yeah. Things have taken a dark turn.
And then went home and...
Yeah, and that's where we're gonna stop, right there. Right. Nope, no more.
And we'll be right back.
If you want to come and descend with me, we'll make a little demon baby. Oh, why do I feel this way? Damn that eye, Frankenstein.
And so now we get Nefarious goes to the girl from Chuck and is like, would it or whatever his
Naboo,
name is
Naboo.
Yeah.
Naboo. That's the name of the people in Phantom Menace.
It's a planet in Phantom Menace.
Count Dooku or whatever.
The Tatooians are saying. No, so what is his name?
Nibirius. Okay. I only remembered it because it's like
Siberius.
Nibirius.
Like so Count Nibirius is like, would it help your experiments if you had the journal of one Dr. Victor von Frankenstein? And she's like, that is a work of fiction, and no. And he says, what if it was real? And she goes, oh, okay. Yeah, I totally checked that out.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay, and you're like, and I'm sitting here watching this going, why did you need this scene? Like, what? Like, she was going to be
isn't
like,
it kind
no.
Of obvious
like,
that right. Book would be helpful.
Right, yeah. And the convincing wasn't
it's
too
got the,
convincing.
It's got the recipe to make a freaking human being.
Right, yeah. So now you're like, now he's all like, we've got to get this book.
We could get to the next best thing, the monster.
Or the monster.
Yeah, so they bring in a badass demon to plan the attack.
And the demons are somewhat anticlimactic when they show their true form, aren't they?
Oh, the
at some
demons...
point we see the demon's true form. Like, the gargoyles look like humans, but then they turn into these huge CGI winged stone creatures with massive weapons, and they growl and stuff. The demons just look like guys in, like, cheesy rubber masks that you could buy at a Halloween shop, and they are wearing, like, black suits.
I feel like with the demons, like, if somebody hit one with a good water balloon, it would, like, burst into flames. Like, they're just straight-up cannon fodder.
Yeah.
They never appear to be any kind of a risk or a threat to anyone. In fact, at points in the movie when the... when the gargoyles actually... Or no, at points in the movie when demons do... kill gargoyles.
I know that phone is descended.
Descended.
Yeah,
you descended your cell phone.
When demons do kill gargoyles, it's not clear how they're killing them. Like gargoyles.
I don't think it ever happens on screen.
This?
You just see blue light.
I think
light.
It's just the weapon.
How did this papier-mâché demon like kill anything?
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, do they have an arsenal? Do they have their own sacred rune that makes their weapons imbued with powers?
First of all, great use of the term sacred rune. We don't talk about that anywhere near enough on this show.
What was the other word you just used? Imbued?
Imbued with this power.
Wow. I know.
Here's another one.
Jack just won the game of Scrabble.
And here's another one. Why don't they just like microscopically engrave this logo on bullets and then just fire guns at them?
Yeah, that would end this movie way too quickly. Too mercilessly, I guess. I'm trying to think where we are now.
Okay. So they want so he sends demons, a whole demon army, which I thought was what
into the middle of the city.
Into the middle of the city, into this giant palace that's in the middle of the city to go get the book.
Yep.
Because they know it's going to be hard to
assault
the gargoyles.
Their plan was to capture the queen.
Because right now the gargoyles
have the book in a safe.
Yeah, but their end game was getting the book.
Yeah.
Right.
By capturing the queen. By distracting all the gargoyles with this giant, massive attack.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yes.
they attack the palace. The gargoyles hide Adam away. They lock him in a room. And they start fighting off in a crazy CGI battle. Fighting off all these demons and killing all these demons.
No
and
cops
for some
around.
Reason, the queen no is just. Screws. The queen goes she's off praying. On her own into a chapel and she's just praying.
And so that's the best use of her.
Yeah.
Talent.
Good luck with this battle, guys. I'm going to go pray. So there's this big battle, and it just in the end, Adam kills a bunch of demons. And then they say, ha, we got your queen. And it flashes back.
Because in any good strategic move, you leave the leader alone in a room.
Yes.
You don't.
That's why you have guards on your chest.
And then no, John McClane Jr.
You leave the king wide open.
John McClane Jr. has a line where he's like, this was the monster's doing. And I'm like, no, this is not his fault at all. If anything, like he could have helped protect her, but instead they kept him chained up.
Yeah, because the queen is... Or later on, okay. Because Adam goes and he... Or no, I'm sorry.
Adam's chained up and two of the gargoyles go down to rescue him.
Jack McClane goes to... get the queen. He says, I gotta just give the book to this demon just so we can get the queen back. She's more important than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and gets the queen.
Even though she's
and the
like,
queen
idiot,
is like,
don't give them the book.
The queen's like, no, don't give them the book. Just let me ascend. Don't give them the book. It's too important. He's like, nah, here's the book. And he gives him the book. Adam is in the room too. He's like watching
Adam,
from the
Adam had like a Mission Impossible-esque episode of him sneaking into like the corporate headquarters.
And so this is like in a church or something and he gives him the book, and he gives him the queen, and then the demon flies away. And
she's totally not pissed off by this.
Well,
at all.
She's upset. She goes. She says they go back to the palace, and she says something like, "Oh, I can't. You know, it's my fault. We shouldn't have done this or that or whatever." And he's like, "It's not your fault. It was his fault for coming back here." And I'm like, "He didn't come back there. You chained him up. You brought him back there."
Yeah.
Like, he came back to the town, but you brought him to the palace and chained him up in a room.
Yeah, he was trying to kill demons.
Yeah.
And you treated him like trash.
Right.
Yeah.
I really was hoping they named the monster John so that character could keep going, God damn it, John!
So
then the monster bursts in.
Well, like, the monster breaks into the laboratory.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Because he knows they have the book.
Yeah,
and he's got to get the book. Which he didn't know the book
existed. He wants the book because he wants to know who he is.
Yeah.
That's his whole thing.
He wants the book now. Not interested in the book during his 500-mile journey from the Arctic back to...
He didn't know it was there. And once he found out it was... There was
he might have made an assumption at some point.
He didn't, because he says later on to the queen, I didn't know there was a book. You should have told me.
At some point...
Well, if he had a line where he was like, I wish I had known I'd been carrying that book for like 500 miles.
You would let that go?
Yeah, I would have been like, oh, I totally would have read that book if I'd known I was carrying it around for...
Well, it's got to get boring, and he has to make pit stops, right?
At some point in the past 500 years or whatever, you think he would make the assumption that, oh, wait, Frankenstein was a scientist. He made a human being. Maybe he kept notes, and they were in a book somewhere.
Now, he was probably too busy out in the woods, like, ah, fire, bad,
getting chased by villagers.
Oh, no, it's more people with pitchforks. This happens every Friday. Gotta go.
So he breaks
in. My life for 200 years.
he breaks in the laboratory where Niberius has just given the book to...
Hot chick from
to the hot doctor.
Yep, hot doctor.
They try to do they try to do the ugly duckling thing where they pull her hair back and they put glasses on, and then later on shakes the glasses off and shakes her hair down. I'm like, you know what? At no point in this movie is she not attractive.
Right.
So why did they even bother with that cliche?
Yeah. And then, basically, like, he gets the book. He has to Frankenstein's monster then has to jump out a window because he's Superman now, apparently.
Wait, this is the part you were talking about earlier. He jumps through one of this is where he falls down the subway, right?
Yeah.
I have a note in my sheet.
He crashes through something, falls down the subway, bang,
gets
bang.
Hit by a subway.
He's in the middle of the cars. Then he just stands up and walks into the car and says, hey, I'm okay, and just starts reading.
I have a note.
I'm all right, guys. If you saw that.
I just fell.
Not even scratched.
I know, living in this city, you see some freaky things.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'm just going to read my book.
They're probably all demons and monsters.
The people on the train don't really seem to notice.
They have no reaction. No, a guy just fell through the roof, got hit by their subway, then walks inside the car, sits down, reads a book, and it's like,
well. Keep in mind, they just saw like a massive battle between gargoyles and demons take place in the middle of town. This is like... tame compared to that.
And now here's where I would give it some leeway if it was a graphic novel. But because their explanation for his superpowers, I guess you would call, is because he was born from so much electricity, 15,000 whatever.
Yep, 15,000 joules, I think it was.
Yeah, was it gigawatts?
Joules. It was 1.21 gigawatts.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And because of that, he has longevity in life.
Yeah, they
he
say doesn't age. With that much power you don't
get,
his body.
You don't get freaking broken back when you fall on a subway car.
He doesn't get frostbite.
He gets hurt later on, but falling through a subway.
Well, right. I mean, it's like that wouldn't... I guess I don't understand physics, but I don't think just because you had a lot of electricity jumped in your body to jumpstart your...
Well, this is my question.
Wouldn't make your bones like really
but
smell.
I think what they're really doing here is going back to the source material. Because in Mary Shelley's original novel, the monster was like an unbelievable Superman who could basically fly and do anything you want.
I thought you were being
serious
for a second
And in the novel...
No, because he was here
in the novel,
more strength.
Well, in the novel, it wasn't even electricity, though.
It was nothing. They didn't say what it was.
It was kind of just...
His instruments of...
Yeah, like chemicals and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it could have been like electricity involved, but they never say. He just says, I'm not going to tell you because you might try this.
Well, I mean, he's always had a little more strength to him for some reason. Which you can understand a little more strength. Like, oh, I'll give you that. Oh, okay, I'll give you that.
Right.
But...
They don't have to
fall
explain
on a subway and come on, not a broken bone or a, you know...
And I thought it was unnecessary I thought it was unnecessary to explain why he was so strong. He's supernatural, ergo he's stronger than the
average
person.
He's not supernatural.
And you're by supernatural.
How's he not supernatural?
Oh, he's built from body parts. He's just a normal. He's just body.
He's not normal though.
No, he's not normal.
He's not magical or anything.
He's not like a demon or a spirit.
I think what Andy's saying is like
he's a body.
Biologically speaking, his body parts are human.
Yeah,
and he was created by scientific processes.
Are we talking about Supernatural,
anyways,
that terrible teeny bopper show?
It's not terrible.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just got lost there.
So,
And this is the last scene we must mention. This is the last scene where we actually see other people in this city.
That's it.
That's right. That's
it.
Everyone else is gone.
You never see a normal person again.
After that huge demon gargoyle fight, everyone's like, let's get out of
this. Shit's going down, man. I'm out of
Transylvania.
This just got real.
So, the doctor...
Hot
doctor says she's trying to get out of Niberius. I can't remember what her boss's name was.
Oh yeah, he's
but
got
his actual
some...
name was like Mr.
Wait, is that her boss
or
are they equals?
Weston or
I think it was her boss. It was like the head of the company. Niberius.
Wait,
it's like Wyatt. It's like Wyatt Corp. No, or something.
That was her like partner.
Is it Wyatt Corp? No, that's a different
so,
one.
So
Gary Oldman comes in. So what are you blockheads doing?
So she's like, "What's going on? Tell me what's going on." This monster just broke in the office and stole his book and jumped out the window. And he's like, "Don't worry about it. Go home. Just go home." She's like, "I don't know what's going on." He's like, "Just go home." And so she goes home, and
now we understand why she didn't want to go home.
No, well, that was not her home, though.
Before that,
that was not her home.
No, they never say this place is like a serial killer.
Well, we're not there.
They know. They follow her because they want to get the monster.
On her way home, she sees she's being followed, so she starts like running and hiding behind a trash can or a dumpster, and Adam pops out. He's like, "I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm here to save you," or whatever.
Come with me if you want to live.
No, I said that. Come with me if you want to live.
And so
where's that from?
Terminator.
Okay. Yeah. I was here, but I always forget where it's from. Yeah.
Come with I if you want to live.
Come with I, Frankenstein.
I think I think Terminator took the line from Singing in the Rain, though. So,
they duck into like this abandoned like warehouse or something. And I laugh because they're like sitting there talking or whatever, and he's trying to convince her or something. I can't remember. But the demon comes into the room through the door, and instead of like attacking Frankenstein, like getting surprising him, he stands in the door. He goes, "Frankenstein!"
Van Helsing.
He's like, "Oh, hey."
That's not my name, damn it.
Frankenstein.
It's Frankenstein. So I kept waiting for the whole movie.
Well, he basically is like, "The name is Adam. But thank you for the heads up. I appreciate the warning." So
instead of getting the drop on him, he yells his name, and then they start fighting. Yeah. And this fight, but it was like I think this fight kind of represented what I hate about this movie and a lot of these movies is these fights are so choreographed and it's all like martial arts instead of just like.
Just two guys, yeah.
Like in old.
Like They Live.
Right. That's right. They Live. Yeah. I was thinking right. Like They Live or. You know, like when you compare the original Star Wars to like the prequel trilogy, where in the original they're just hacking each other with lightsabers, and the new one it's like jumping around in martial arts and stuff. It's like,
yeah,
I just want to see like these two guys just beating the crap out of each other, but it's like this martial arts like flips and stuff. And,
yeah, there's a little the concept of wire fu has gone overboard in Hollywood.
And at one point, Adam gets hit in his Franken balls.
Yeah, that was pretty. So he beats like. There's also a great line where at one point he's explaining to the hot doctor what he thinks is going on, and he goes, "Like Frankenstein's monster's like, I just want to let you know I'm a monster." But he actually has the line. He goes, "I think your boss happens to be a demon prince."
Yeah, I know.
She takes totally straight face. She's like,
"I know."
I'll take that into consideration.
That whole walk in the alleyway where he's saying that stuff. He's like, "Humans don't know there's a battle going on between gargoyles and demons." She's like, "Really?"
Yeah. Well, there's the other line of the scene too. I forgot.
I'm pretty sure I saw some fireballs on my window like 3 nights ago. And
this scene is the other line too, which I think made me laugh a lot, was when she's like, "Oh, your name's Adam," and he goes, "It's the name the Gargoyle Queen gave me."
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So yeah, that whole scene was really bad.
Ergo, your name is Adam.
The Gargoyle Queen.
The name my mom gave me.
So they get away.
They get away.
And they go to some abandoned...
No.
It's not her room.
It's not abandoned. She totally lives there. There is no other explanation
for this. It's somebody's apartment. It has running water and electricity.
She knows everything that's in the medicine cabinet.
And she's very comfortable there.
No. And later on in the movie, Adam comes looking for her. He goes to that specific location. Well, he sees the door is unlocked. He pushes open the door, and he asks her name.
And just to add this before we set this location up, later on in the movie, the monster leaves the journal in this apartment and then comes back and gets it. So he knows this is a secure location.
It's not. It's something else. Look it up.
Why does it have because the way she
kind of she looked around kind of like, "What are we doing here?" Kind of like she had a look on
her
face. She lives in a
hole.
There's no way the top doctor and
I think
he's got to pay off those medical school bills.
Prince Tiberius is very tight with the purse.
If you don't know what we're talking about, what happens is the hot doctor and Frankenstein's monster go to an apartment that, to call it in shambles, isn't even
the poorest of the poor wouldn't even live like that. Like that.
It is.
Well, like you or Brian said afterwards, it was an apartment out of seven.
Some of the walls aren't even there.
There's holes in the wall.
There's holes in the wall. The
big giant
there's a mattress without a sheet on it with stains on it.
Everything is peeling. The only furniture seems to be a bed.
A cot, more like.
A bed, a cot, a chair.
A broken light.
A broken light.
A sink.
A sink and a medicine cabinet.
With a door falling off. And it's like one hinge.
It's all like dirty and gross.
That's what I'm saying. It's not her apartment.
But she seems to be fully aware of it. Because
she wouldn't go to her apartment knowing that they're following her.
They already threw them off.
So they would not go to her
They already threw them off.
She is... According to this movie, one of the top scientists in the
world. I'm trying to say it.
And she appears to live in like.
It's not her apartment. Rubble.
This must be like an old Soviet entry country or something.
It would have been nice then if they said, let's duck into this abandoned apartment or something.
They had to cut something or, yeah, there's something cut.
I guarantee it's not her apartment.
That's where the top scientist in her field lives.
I think so.
Maybe she keeps this. Okay, here's a crazy theory. Maybe she's just one of these chicks who gets hit on so much by creepy guys that she wants to throw them off the scent. So she takes the giving them the wrong phone number one step further and has a second address to cheat people into going to this house. And, oh, damn it, I thought she gave me a real address. She knew that she wanted to throw the demons off. So she comes to this second location instead so that if they do find out where they are, they'll never find out where her real apartment is.
You're saying that the hot doctor maintains a flop house? Like just like a bang apartment?
Well,
like
maybe she sublets to homeless people as charity for dirt cheap. She lets them stay there for bottles and cans.
If you see this movie, and when we get to... Maybe we'll see if people recommend
that's
it.
Where she takes
well,
the
That's
guys.
One of my notes. I'm like, this looks like her job is a prostitute.
I got a little
twin bed with no corner, sheets.
It's disgusting.
So, back to the movie.
back to the movie. We do find out that Frankenstein and the hot doctor have some negotiations to apparently have her build I, Bride of Frankenstein. He's, you know, kind of like, what about a lady friend?
He's always been looking for
a which, mate. Again,
Dr.
the whole
Frankenstein
point,
wouldn't build him a mate.
The whole point of the book was he wants him to build him a mate because he's so hideous.
He's going
to
go off
that
alone with
he can
her.
Only have another creature to be with.
But he also wants a companion because there's no one else like him.
But in this movie, he's Aaron Eckhart, and it's not too hard for Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
In fact,
I mean, she looks at him without a shirt, and she's like, "Oh,
yeah,
hey.
No,
like that's all it takes."
Oh, he takes his shirt off. He's got maybe four more scars and like six.
Even
back
I was
abs.
Like, "Oh, whoa!"
Right.
He's pretty ripped.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that guy was that ripped.
So
was that CG?
Frankenstein did a good job.
Was that CGI stuff?
So it literally takes away the whole I want a mate thing because it's like all he has to do is take a shirt off in front of this woman and he's got a mate. Basically.
Maybe he smells funky.
Because I'm not the only one who thought that. She was kind of into it, right?
I thought they were going that route. Yeah, I thought they were going that route.
Half expecting there to be a sex scene in this movie.
Okay.
But they had to keep it PG-13
because
well,
they
end
up
get as much
together
as
at the
possible.
End. But so he, yeah, so. She like bandages him up and he like falls asleep and she reads the book as he's sleeping.
Yep.
And he wakes up. She's like, "Hey, I finished the book," which
it's
is taken
like worse. Got a great ending.
The worst transition ever.
Yeah. He's like, "I've been meaning to read that for 400 years."
Wow.
Don't spoil it. Spoiler free. Spoiler free, please.
But how was
no
it?
Spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
do I live?
So. She then decides that she calls up her other doctor guy,
which is
her partner.
Carl. Which is like calls the dumbest like, thing I've ever heard of a movie.
Meet me at the train station or whatever it was. And,
I don't think I don't think they're going to trail you.
Yeah.
Meet the train station.
Yeah.
This is definitely not a trap.
Even Frankenstein's monster's like, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I think it would be funny if she was like, "Come meet at my place. We'll be safe." He was like, "Why don't we meet somewhere else? Yeah, at the train station.
Can we meet at an IHOP or something?"
Yep. So she goes off and she's like, "You stay here, take care of yourself. It's what you're best at." And
why is she being so?
I don't know.
Pulls a Luke Skywalker on
this guy's been created. He's been alive for 200 years. He's living in the woods, and she's treating him like he's an asshole.
Yeah, why is everyone on
like,
Frankenstein's
Of course, he doesn't
case.
Like mankind. I mean,
because people, you know what? She doesn't appreciate all those demons that he descended for her.
Well,
and
people
the rest
are constantly developing conflicts
you just
with
yourself,
the monster.
You self-centered bastard.
Yeah, and he's
what about
not,
my needs?
He has not done anything to get either the Hot Doctor or the Gargoyles mad at him.
Right,
but
I've been
they're
chained
both
up by Gargoyles. Is trying to kill me and you're being a bitch.
Yeah.
No wonder he doesn't have a soul. Everyone treats him like an asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
So she goes off and she goes to the train station and this is like I think all of us were confused when the scene was happening.
No, what the hell was that?
Like all four of us were like, what is
glass waterfall
like
that he
water
can't,
wall.
He can't
I don't understand.
Penetrate or
but I think that was just
a door or what?
No, I think it was just how the train station I think it was just a glass wall with water in it. Just like a design thing.
I
but
think
it made it,
was
it look like the way, because later on when they go back, or he goes back or something, the wall's still there. But
yeah,
the way it was shot, he was like behind the wall and she's on the other side and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like they made it look like it was some supernatural thing. Like, he was behind like a water wall,
why
but I think it was
just
the wall.
Walk in the door and...
or run away.
Or why did they press him against the wall?
And what was the purpose of this water wall, except just because it looked cool?
I think this was just production design.
Like
some production designers were like, hey, this will look awesome. And then they didn't have any other way to feature it in the movie. So they
it made no sense.
Made this,
I think that looked better in their head than it actually did.
Yeah. I was expecting something to happen.
Probably you wouldn't be able to hear the guy through that anyway.
Right.
The what?
I can't hear you.
Look behind you. What?
Yeah.
behind you.
I can't even read your lips because of the water.
So the bad guys, Count Niberius or whatever, now
Count
he
Niberius.
Has, I don't know.
He's a high prince, goddammit. Yeah.
High Prince Niberius.
Your boss is a high prince. Oh,
he's
I always thought
he was a Sith Lord Niberius.
Sith Lord Niberius. And he's like, you will work on reanimating corpses. And she's like, no, I won't. And he's like,
this is stupid.
What if I kill Carl, your lab assistant? She's like, all right, I'll work on reanimating him. Right. Yeah.
She's willing to die to save, you know, planet Earth, I guess.
Right.
But don't kill her assistant.
Yeah, right. Well, at that point, she's like, look, there's only like two humans in this city.
I know, right?
It's really not a big deal.
Oh, yeah. It's not like they were like lovers or anything. It was
no connection.
Yeah, but if Carl dies, who's going to propagate the human race?
I kept thinking when she was like, I'm willing to die. You know, I'm willing to die to not do this. And to have her be like, have you seen my apartment? Look, I got nothing. if you saw where I was living, you know.
I'm not afraid to die. Yeah.
I probably have 9 strains of hepatitis right now.
Please kill me.
Yeah. The MRSA,
my bedposts have tetanus on them.
My living room doesn't even have a full wall. People walking by in the hallway can look in.
The medicine cabinet door is hanging off the hinge.
It's very
my neighbor collects cats in the fridge.
There's constantly a draft.
So what happens here?
Now at the same time,
I think
Frankenstein's monster goes back to the gargoyles.
He goes back to
back to the gargoyles.
He goes outside.
That's
he goes
back to get help.
He goes back for the book. The book's in the apartment.
Yeah.
The queen says, "Follow Frankenstein. Follow the monster."
Yeah, but I mean, he goes back to the gargoyles to say, we need help.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
she says, "Oh, bring your girlfriend here, and then we'll help you."
And by the way, John McClane Jr. doesn't get it at all. Frankenstein's like, "Hey, Count Niberius, he wants to reanimate corpses. They're working. This could change everything."
Yeah.
And John, you know, he could reanimate. He could have an army of demons, and they could take over the world. And John McClane Jr.'s like, "Hold on, wait, what? I stopped listening at when you said Count Niberius." You know.
Wait, how would the book help him reanimate people? Yeah. I don't see the connection.
What's a book again?
Yeah. So she goes.
I don't read.
He leaves to go back to the apartment to find her, and she says, the queen says, "Follow him, and as soon as you see the book, kill him."
And again, like, right. Why?
Just,
why
just,
kill him?
It just got done telling him I was wrong about you, and you know.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I'm going to help you now. And then he walks out. She's like, kill him.
Kill him. He has done nothing to hurt them and only things to help him. Help them. Yeah.
So she tells John McClane Jr. to go kill him when he finds the book. So he follows him to the Seven apartment. And he finds the book. And then Jack McClane comes crashing through the window, and there's a fight between them in the apartment, and I think they go flying out of the apartment. And
yep. Then Aaron Eckhart says, "I'm on vacation."
And they start fighting, and then eventually he kills Jack McClane.
Jack McClane seems to fall on his own axe. If I understood that.
Very
yeah.
nobly.
Something, yeah.
While trying to kill our hero.
So he
at
dies.
At that point, Frankenstein's monster's like, this book, more books, more problems, I gotta burn this. And he just burns up the journal.
Does he burn it?
I believe. That's what I have in my notes.
He's reading it by the fire.
Yeah.
And he finally finishes it.
Right.
And then he throws it.
He understands. Right. This is where he understands who he is now.
It's like when I read Da Vinci Code at the end. I was like, oh my God, burn this.
Burn this thing.
Yeah.
That's what I do with all my books after I finish them.
So he decides
to
go.
I actually burn each page after I finish reading it.
He decides that he has to. Has he seen the big room with all the demons in it yet? Or someone sees it?
I don't. Yeah, I saw that earlier, yeah. Because okay. That's what he told
oh,
him when he
right.
went.
Yeah,
because there's went, a giant told room. Him that you got this giant room full. He's going to reanimate. Told the whole plan. I'm like, oh, Mike, we're going to help you kill him.
Yeah. So because they had this whole room of just
about that.
Hundreds of thousands of corpses that they're going to reanimate. And so he decides that he's got to get the gargoyles to go fight the demons.
Wait a minute. That's where all the people are. They're all dead in that chamber. That's why you don't
yeah.
see
you're right, yeah.
And
like
this is
so, right?
That's
maybe, city, yeah.
Maybe the funniest sequence in the movie and the worst direction and editing ever done. So Frankenstein's
if we
monster.
Too bad we watched it in theater because I would have loved to have rewound it and watched this
I know,
fight again.
We're playing this live. Yeah.
We should have gone up into the projection booth and said, hey, can you wind that for us, please?
Well, we'll take you through it. So Frankenstein's monster now walks from the bad guy headquarters to the Gargoyle Palace, stands outside the Gargoyle Palace like he's Russell Crowe in Gladiator. We were joking, like, are you not entertained? He's like just kind of raising his hands.
Kind of like, come at me, bro.
To which point one of the gargoyles is like, my queen, we've located the monster.
No kidding. I know,
that's
why we located him. Yeah.
No kidding.
That's one way to put it.
He's waving at you like, hey.
The gargoyles up there like taking out their monocles.
And then the best
so then, yeah.
So Aaron, so I Frankenstein starts to like walk away, go to an alley, and you see a gargoyle come from his perch and swoop down. You think like, okay, here's where the fight's gonna start. And the gargoyle just kind of like hovers over him, looks at him, and flies
turns
away.
Around and flies away.
Good recon, gargoyle. He just like waved his arms at you.
Did he see us? Did he see us? Is that definitely him? Yes, that's him.
I've confirmed that guy waving at us was the monster.
We have located him.
So Frankenstein's
confirmed.
He starts running with the gargoyles.
Was he running? Why is he running?
He's like walking.
No, he's
actually
well,
more
he
like
running.
Walking.
Yeah.
He has like 5 pound weights.
Until one of them, then
well,
they all come.
Because they start, they come.
They all come, and the queen sends one down to get him.
Yes.
To which he Sharknado's it.
Yes, Sharknado punches it.
Yep.
We laughed on that one.
So hard.
Are you kidding me? Just Sharknado that.
I'm Ian Ziering and you're a shark falling from 500 feet in the sky.
Yeah.
My fist
punches
is my
it.
Chainsaw.
You have to know that when they were in editing for this movie and Sharknado became
came
a phenomenon,
like,
they must have been like, oh no, we're in so much trouble.
At least he didn't have a chainsaw.
Yeah.
It's sad when you say that the sequence in Sharknado is better than a sequence in your movie. That's got to sting.
Yeah,
yep.
No kidding.
Yep.
Frankenstein must have had like the fists of Mike Tyson to do that punch.
Yeah.
He Sharknados it, and then the girls are kind of like, okay, all right.
They just keep
following. They just follow him.
Yeah, they
follow him. They'll send another one down, and we're like, okay.
Well,
because he's mad. Okay, we get it. He's mad at us. Let's just... Let him walk it off a little bit.
It's a very short walk. He walks like 3 blocks.
Are we
at the laboratory.
Are we supposed to know that for hundreds of years that this castle has been here, that they didn't know the demon headquarters was like walking distance away?
Yeah.
You could see it from the palace.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we pass this every day going to Starbucks.
You don't even need to get on the subway.
You can literally walk there.
Yeah.
So a bunch of demons come out and they're like, oh, that's where the demons are. So they realize that the monster was leading them to the demons, and they're like, okay, maybe we should trust him now. Maybe his plan or what he was saying about the demons' plan was true.
I did like a line Frankenstein's monster had in here to Count Niberius. He's like, just in case anyone like watching it was a little confused on where things stood, Frankenstein's monster's like, I'm here to destroy you. To which even like Count Niberius is like, yeah, I kind of figured that.
I got it.
Didn't really.
Is this where he transforms into
really
space and then all of a sudden he has a Dracula collar?
Well, first his Michael Clark Duncan sidekick is like the Adam or the monster is here, and so he goes out with some demons to go fight the monster. Yeah. So he goes out and he like transforms into his demon form, and he comes out. He's like,
they're all fighting. And all of a sudden he's like, leave him to me. I got this one.
He comes out. He's like, I got this one. And then, like, a gargoyle just drops down and, like, crushes him or something.
And he's done.
And that was it. It was like...
It was like the Indiana Jones scene where the guy's doing all, like, the sword thing and he just shoots him. Yeah.
It would have been funnier if, as he was being carried away, he could have been like, I don't got this one.
Avenge me. Yeah.
I regret that.
So Frankenstein's monster leads the gargoyles into where the demons have this huge, like... Blade 2-esque like farm of like dead bodies or bodies that have no souls in them that they're keeping open.
Oh, they're all in these like pods. These things have status bars on them that tell you at what percentage they're about to be reanimated.
Reanimation.
Yeah,
it's 3%.
97%.
It's got that little hourglass going. Like,
please
dead
stand
serious.
By.
Yeah. And so, it all looks steampunk and wet and drippy like a Nine Inch Nails music video.
So Frankenstein is like, he's like, okay, I gotta go save Hot Doctor.
Hey, let me say this. Frankenstein thinks, okay, I've shown the gargoyles this huge operation where they're going to reanimate hundreds, thousands of corpses. They can take care of this problem. I'm going to go save Hot Doctor. Yeah. Guess what, Frankenstein's monster? Your gargoyle friends are idiots.
They only sent three people in.
And take forever.
Yeah, they're looking around the whole time.
Well, the queen's like, okay, we got to destroy these bodies. And they go off and like clip them off like one by one. They're like, hitting the pods off. It's like instead of like destroying,
waited till like it's almost
like
full
flipping
animation.
A switch and overloading the power and they all explode.
Yeah, they're just like one by one, like clipping them off the lines.
Oh, wow, look at all these. Yeah.
I thought we were going to get a pretty obvious scene of like the gargoyles being like, hey, shut that computer down, or like, we got to do these all at once.
Or destroying the core.
Get the IT guy.
Or something.
They're like, okay, get the IT guy.
The IT guy and force them to shut it down.
Jack finally got a laugh out of that one.
See, that was funnier in this scene than it was in the other one.
I'm sticking to my guns on that.
But no, they're like, okay, we'll handle these. We're looking at 5,000 reanimated corpses. We'll handle them one by one in the next 60 seconds.
As we said earlier, it would be like saying to someone, all right, we want you to kill this tree. And rather than just chopping it down, you take all the leaves individually. This'll do it. Yeah.
So
5 days later.
So Adam goes to the laboratory where Niberius reveals his true form.
And he's got a Dracula collar. Yeah.
He looks like Count Chocula.
I would have loved if he was like Davy Jones after he revealed his.
Playing the organ.
When people transform like that and they have clothes on, it always amazes me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
like that's incredible technology.
Right.
To be able to transform and have built-in wardrobe.
Yeah. Right, you know?
Right.
My alternate form is sponsored by Gucci.
So he's telling him his whole plan, which we already knew. I need to reanimate these corpses so that demons can possess them, whatever. And he says, I'm gonna have you possessed because you have no soul.
And I was like, why are we getting a recap of this? We've seen this. Well, this plan has been explained like 4 times. I'm like, though, in fairness, the gargoyles don't understand it.
So they were not all recap dumb
it
the
one
gargoyles.
More time. Yeah.
So
just to be clear, those bodies that are going to 100% are going to be reanimated and possessed.
So okay. He summons a demon who comes up and goes into Adam's body, and there's this whole like thing where he's being possessed. And then, of course, he's not possessed because he has a soul after all.
How does he have a soul? I don't know.
And what happens to that demon that went inside him?
Either he had it the whole time or through accepting himself and
that was, well, the original
accepting
title,
who he was. And
the original title for this movie was Soul Man. And then they realized, someone else had that title. Yeah. So,
anyway, somehow, and that didn't bother me. He had it the whole time or that.
Well, that was the least of the problems.
He gained a soul because of something. Yeah, that's the least problem. That didn't bother me.
And so Count Niberius is basically...
that they thought he didn't have one in the first place.
Yeah, he seemed to be making choices.
Well, if he didn't have a soul, he wouldn't be so upset that he doesn't have a mate or that he's hideous or that his father is dead.
Yeah, but what exactly is a soul, really? We can get into a debate about this.
We could go round and round on this one, but
let's
keep...
Is self-awareness the qualifier as to whether or not you have a soul?
I just don't understand why no one thought he didn't have a soul. Because they're like, oh, I don't see a soul in your eyes, so you don't have a soul. Like, there's never... just assumed he didn't have a soul because he was
created by... Well, I was thinking he gained it throughout the...
But if you can just gain a soul...
I think he had a soul in the beginning. Like, because pretty early on, he was like, yeah, I want to get rid of these demons because they're bad for this planet. You know,
if,
like,
if you can just gain a soul, then I'm sure it's just as easy to lose one. So I'm sure you can find people who just don't have souls. Like,
yeah.
Do I have a murderers soul, Cody?
Jury's still out on that.
I got. We'll have the Gargoyle Queen inspect you later.
I'm probably gonna get possessed tonight.
She's gonna rename you though.
So he got right. So he has Bill. A soul. So he's not.
Oh, Andy already thinks my name is Bill.
So. He's not possessed. Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
So then the Dracula has three marks on him.
Iberia.
Oh, because he's very close to the marking you need to kill demons. Well, no,
he Frankenstein. Was slashing him like that.
Right. On purpose.
He's got three,
he was like Zorro-ing him.
He purposely slashed him like
that? Yeah, the three.
Oh, that'd be okay.
He was Zorro-ing
him. I didn't see that.
Yeah, Frankenstein. Yeah.
He didn't know what he was doing until the end when he got did the last one.
Yeah. Then that, because that symbol
What are these
demons.
Weird artistic symbols you're putting on my chest? I kind of like those crap.
So Frankenstein kills Count Niberius.
And because he's a prince, that's you really explode when you're a prince.
Yeah.
If you're a low-level demon, you're just like a little flame, but if you're a high prince,
he goes
Ooh. Fireworks.
Though we have nothing in this movie has established this, he turns into essentially like a thermonuclear bomb,
and he,
destroying the entire facility of all these reanimated corpses going on. To which point the gargoyles are like, "Let's get out of here. We did it." I'm like, "You did not do it.
You did not.
You should take gargoyles should take credit for nothing."
Yeah, they really take a lot of credit for things they didn't do, like locating the monsters, destroying the demons.
Yeah. Breaking up the reanimated corpse farm, Frankenstein did all of this. He did all of the work in this movie.
So they're also the queen saves Frankenstein and the hot doctor from dying in a, because they were falling to hell, I guess, and she saves them.
I will save him and then I'll kill him.
And once again, nobody
will lock him up.
Nobody around with cell phones or
there's nobody around at all.
I went this whole movie thinking that there was going to be like one joke at the end of Frankenstein being like, "What about keeping quiet, hey?" they didn't even do that.
Remember when you said that?
Yeah. Like, that was going to be, like, the big, like, you know, final joke. Like, ha, 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 we're all friends
There
now.
Were no jokes in this movie.
None.
Yeah, was there one thing that was played for a laugh?
There's one.
So
one
thing.
But yeah, when the guy was like, I wounded him.
I didn't know if that was supposed to be a laugh, though.
Yeah,
there's another
was...
one that I remember somebody said. Is the hot doctor said something there, but it was kind of like, oh, huh? It was a typical joke. Like, I can't remember what it was. That's how
you saw
how impactful was. I saw it last night. I can't remember what it was.
That's great comedy.
Right? I know. Right?
That's good stuff.
You should write a book. That's true.
I can't remember what it was. But it was.
I heard this joke.
I can't remember the
same
what it
that.
Was.
It was like a little joke that
you've
they
got. You've got a tight 5 minutes going there if you ever do stand up.
And everybody kind of like snickered, but it was like kind of like a, oh, that's a typical joke in a movie.
Everybody
was like, it was so forgetful.
Everybody in the movie or in the theater?
In the theater.
How many people were in the theater when you saw it?
Last night there was about 10.
Really?
Really?
We saw it with 3 or 4 other people, and one guy walked out about 10 minutes in.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he not come back? I thought he was going to get popcorn.
This was too. This is
that, tiny
well, we should
not,
tell that story. So
did that guy not come back? I thought he was just leaving
no,
the
he
popcorn.
Left. I was watching the whole time. He didn't come back.
That guy never came back. So we were to our local like multiplex to see this. And we all buy tickets, and we walk into...
Wait, did you see a 3D version?
We saw it in Theater 17, of course, the dankest, darkest corner of the cinema.
Which is the doctor's apartment equivalent of that theater.
We walked in, and I'm looking up at, like, the theater numbers to be, like... We're looking at, like, the little listings, like, oh, this one's whatever,
Lego
this movie,
movie,
this movie. You know, this is a new, you know, that new Jack Ryan movie. And then I'm like... Why am I even looking at these theaters? And someone was like, you know, we're going into the basement. We had to go down 2 levels into the...
Where there's no cell phone reception and everything smells.
Yeah.
The floors are
smelling. Yeah, there's 3 other people. Maybe there's like a couple and then 2 other people.
Well, I think last night was the last showing, too.
Ever.
It was 10:45. Like I said, the last 3 nights have been only 10:45. That's it.
That's pretty gutsy that there was that many people there.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought it was going to be me and my wife.
You should have asked at the end. You're like, is anyone else here doing a bad movie podcast?
Yeah, that's what I said,
That's what you said that time when we saw RIPD, and there was like actually kind of a full theater.
Yeah,
like, how
surprised.
Many bad movie podcasts are in this town?
Everyone pulls out a notebook in their pen.
Did you remember at what point he he walked out.
It was like 20 minutes in. It was I remember.
I think that's hilarious.
I remember thinking, like, wow, it's super early for this guy to be leaving.
It was not long after the moment when the movie flashes forward 200 years. Yeah, yeah. And, like, once you see Frankenstein in the hoodie. I remember we saw Frankenstein in the hoodie, and then it was not long after.
I remember thinking this guy must have thought this was, like, a Frankenstein movie. And then he realized when it went to 2014 that it wasn't a Frankenstein movie.
Because I remember the guy walking out, and I was like, oh, somebody's using the bathroom, or getting popcorn, or whatever. And then I just didn't pay attention. I was too engrossed in the flashing ridiculousness up on the screen that I didn't notice him come back.
I want to say, too, one last thing. In the credits, one of the last credits was special thanks to Mary Shelley.
Yeah,
I thought that was like the most offensive credit ever. It was like special thanks to Mary Shelley.
Well, because we're at the end. It just ended with him when he was standing there saying,
and he says the title of the movie.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what. Because the Gargoyle Queen is like,
her and the girl
found
him
your higher purpose, which if I was him, I'd be like, go F yourself.
That's what I've been doing for the past 200 years.
I've been doing this for 200 years, lady. And then he's like, I am my father's son. I, Frankenstein.
It was like, I protect her. I watch her.
I liked it. I liked Frankenstein. That.
I thought that was dumb.
Oh, the end line, or you mean the end
line?
He's
accepted himself as my father's son, and you know he's my maker, and I'm Frankenstein.
I'm Frankenstein.
Kind of like Gene Wilder, you know.
Frankenstein.
He's all like, Dad, you're not the boss of me.
He's grown up. Took 212 years or so. Now he's like, he's a man.
Yeah.
Instead of the High Prince Niberius, they should have had the bad guy be the constable character from Son of Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
What?
We're going to reanimate the corpses. What? We're going to reanimate the corpses.
The corpses.
All right. So we have a great So Wrong It's Right question for this week. So right now, a big budget reboot of the Frankenstein, another Frankenstein movie is in development.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it a sequel to this?
Luckily for the world, it is not.
Okay.
It is going to be apparently a retelling of the Mary Shelley story Frankenstein, scheduled to come out in 2015. With James McAvoy as Dr. Frankenstein. I knew you were not going to know.
He's the young Professor X
in the new X-Men movies. No. Don't even know why I used that reference. I can tell from looking at you that means
thanks
zilch.
For that one.
He was in Wanted with Angelina Jolie.
No, not that one either.
Moving on.
That's a graphic novel, isn't it? Wanted?
I know the name.
I'm trying to think of something else you would have seen him in.
I think that's going to be it.
Yeah, those are probably his...
Okay, move on.
Anyway, he's a youngish guy, but he's like a serious actor.
He's playing the doctor?
He's never done a movie with Tom Atkins, so you don't know.
That's right. He's Tom Atkins free at this point in his career. A very interesting young actor has been tentatively cast as Igor in this movie.
There is no Igor in the book.
Yeah, there's no Igor in the book.
I know.
Yeah,
well,
he's going to be
in this movie.
He's not a retelling
Universal,
of
Universal,
yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to give you four choices for who is right now to be Igor in the movie.
Well, we know it's not going to be Lugosi.
Or is it? No, it isn't. Sorry. Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, God. Oh.
Actually, that would be a nice demeaning role for him.
Daniel Radcliffe, a.k.a. Harry Potter. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, or as Andy knows him, the kid from Third Rock from the Sun.
Thank you.
And fourth, Michael Cera.
That one popped to mind.
From Arrested Development.
Superbad.
Superbad was
the geeky looking kid.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Scott Pilgrim versus
the geeky looking kid.
Yeah, Nick and Norris. Like
Nick and Norris Infinite Playlist. Yep, Juno.
Yeah. Okay, so go through them again. Shia LaBeouf, Daniel Radcliffe, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Cera. One of them attached.
I know I'm going with.
Michael Cera popped in my head, but I'll say Daniel Radcliffe.
I'm going Radcliffe too.
Okay.
British.
I'm going to
stick with the whole British thing.
Okay.
I'm going Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Okay.
I should probably say Shia LaBeouf because he's the least likely guy who would be it, and I just want to be a maverick, so I'm going to say Shia LaBeouf.
Wow,
ooh,
okay.
What a maverick.
The Wolf family takes it. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter as Igor. Yeah. Interesting. I think that I think that could be a very I think
it sounds like they're trying to do more like a universal monster.
Yeah, I think
which would be cool actually.
I think it's
gonna
universal.
Be kinda, is it gonna be kind of like a Sherlock Holmes like where it's like Dr. Frankenstein and Igor go on some supernatural adventures like partners? Is it gonna be something stupid like that?
Maybe I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, the fact that Igor is a big part of it kind of makes you wonder just what's gonna happen here.
I'd rather see not that, but
the Lone Ranger,
but like a remake of the Universal one than another retelling of the book, because the book is a good book, but it's kind of as a movie, like the Kenneth Branagh one was kind of like
a little lame, a little boring.
Yeah, it's mediocre.
But they changed that too, even. I'd rather see like a good Dracula, because like they've never actually done a good Dracula movie.
Right, right.
Based on the book.
And Kevin, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, I think Grevo, the guy who is poor man's Michael Clark Duncan in this movie, he came up with the Underworld premise as well. So that's why there was no lawsuits filed after this movie, because the guy who came up with this also came up with Underworld.
Got it.
Anyone want to take any guesses on how much this cost to make?
That was quite a bit.
Jeez. Yeah, with all that CGI.
$40 million. That's low, isn't it?
I'm going to say 40. $180 million.
$180 million?
Wow. I'm just going to say it. All
right.
I'm going to say it.
$65 million.
Okay.
I was going to say 60.
You can.
I'm going to say $1.
You see 65. You don't know.
We had to abolish the $1.
Are you saying
60
or you said you're going to say? Are you going to?
We're really grilling you on this. Did you say 60? You
well,
know
I
what?
Know if
it counts.
Like, we asked a tough question.
Or he is saying it, but he's somebody.
I don't think I'm going to say that.
I just want to overstep my bounds.
I just said I was going to say.
That's what I'm saying. I know how to take that.
I don't feel like it now.
Jack takes it. $65 million budget.
Wait, he got his own nose?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
You knew that, you asshole.
I did not. I guessed. I completely guessed.
Yeah. Today,
it is actually the budget of another movie that we're going to podcast.
Yes. Yes. And
so I guessed. I did not know about this one.
$32 million.
Jack's researching before his question. Yeah.
I did not. I promise. And I, Frankenstein, I didn't do squat research.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap this up with, the way we always do, we will plug our Facebook page, Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out, on Facebook. Plugged. The pictures from our Knight Riders episode are 100% hilarious. I laughed at all of them. The picture of the kid with the sword in the end was a particularly brilliant touch. Very funny. Great, you can be our friend there.
Anybody going to buy the DVD when it comes out?
I, Frankenstein?
Yeah.
I'm guessing you are.
Yeah, I will. Anybody else?
Why would you waste your money on that?
Why would you raise it in that weird way? It was almost should have just said, "I'm going to buy the DVD." It was like a question where you wanted us to say no so that you could say yes.
It's kind of like a so bad, so good thing. Anybody?
No, God, no.
I like it. I'm going to buy it.
When you do buy,
I'm a sucker for anything Frankenstein. Though.
We need to further investigate this apartment situation. I want to we need to like.
I'm going to buy just to find out.
I was going to tweet. At I Frankenstein asked the question whose apartment was that, but I never did because
you should
I figured they really would... should I really want to know more about that. You should do that because I've tweeted a bunch of things blasting how dumb this movie is. They probably blocked me by now.
I'll buy it. It's so bad.
I figured you would.
We didn't even do So Bad's Good. All right, so you're saying So Bad's Good.
Yeah,
Jack,
what do you think?
No, it's just retarded.
Okay. Weird phrasing. I think that term is kind of out of favor, but all right.
I mean, no offense when I use the word.
He meant it was slow moving.
Right. Yeah. He was going backwards, actually. He's actually going backwards, what he meant.
Cody, what do you think?
We laughed a lot in the theater, but I don't think I would ever watch it again. So bad it's a good movie. I just laughed a lot because the gargoyle thing was ridiculous.
Next year he'll say, I watch it again.
I'm never going to watch it.
Yeah. Brian,
you're the one who does that.
It was like Cody said, it was fun when we were all watching in the theater together, but I mean, I couldn't imagine like watching this alone, on DVD in the comfort of my own home. I'm looking at Andy.
Oh, he's going to watch it at work,
in the car.
He'll watch how he drives places. I'm going to agree with Brian. We laughed a lot watching it together, and there's like, and it's short enough. I mean, it was like 90 minutes, so.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun So Bad It Was Good.
I would love to see the scene again where he super like atomic punches the gargoyle and leads them to
just where the gargoyle comes down and checks him out and then flies away.
Yeah, yeah. That part I was.
There's a couple moments. You know what? I take it back, Annie. If you buy this on DVD and you have it on here at work, there's moments I'm going to want to come in and look at, like when they come on because they're so funny. So, okay, be our friend on Facebook. You'll get updates with all our pictures. And as we've been doing the last couple times, we are going to ask you, if you're a fan of the show, if you enjoy listening to the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. That helps the show, helps us improve the show, helps us spread the word. So it is not a very long and exhaustive process. It just takes a few seconds. It's like a star rating. You can actually write like a brief one-line review.
I have to do that. I haven't done that yet.
Well, you also have to listen to an episode first.
I haven't done that yet.
So,
and show up to at least a quarter of it.
I would say, here's what I would say for you, Andy.
You have to figure out how to get on iTunes. Yeah.
Step one, get an iTunes account. Step two, listen to an episode. Step three, review an episode.
Step four, repeat steps 1 through 3.
That's correct. Oh, actually, but in your case, step four, plug internet into the computer through the dial-up cable in the back.
Step one, access the internet.
You have mail.
Sign on to AOL.
I do have you have mail.
Yeah, you've got mail.
I'm a creature of habit. You have mail.
I'm a creature of habit. You got mail.
Yep.
And not the movie.
He still has... you said you have that DVD, don't you?
No, not that. No, I don't have that movie. No.
Okay.
It's not bad enough.
And you still have a Pets.com account, don't you? No? Did you cancel that?
What?
Pets.com?
I don't know what that even means.
Okay. Well, .com, it's like you put it at the end of, you can buy a domain name. Well, I'll tell you later.
Nobody else puts .com on anything? I know he makes fun of me because I put
www. Oh, yeah.
No, you don't do that anymore?
That's four characters that you're wasting your time. Oh, yeah.
You have to tell them. You have to be like, computer. Well, it's faster if you go to, like, you know, www.worldwideweb.com.org.
I work with a guy who Googles Google. If he has to go to Google, he'll go to Google and search google.com.
What?
I don't know why he does that.
Yeah. These things work.
Google's Google.
Yeah. It's like a dream inside a dream. That's really getting crazy there.
And then he keeps Googling every time.
He's incepting the Google.
You gotta get to Google.
And coming up next week, very special episode.
Yes.
Our first time ever taking on an animated movie.
Yes.
And
animated is very...
animated gets air quotes.
Very loosely.
low-rendered... Partially, it's almost like it's almost like pre-viz.
I was actually embarrassed for the crew who worked on this movie while I was watching it. I was embarrassed for them. I just felt intense feelings of embarrassment.
It's a movie called Food Fight. Well, I should say, as we're fascinated with the show, we love to take pronunciation and punctuation. It's called Food Fight because it has an exclamation.
It's actually one word, so it should be Food Fight.
Yeah,
Food Fight.
Food Fight.
Food Fight.
Food Fight.
And there's a big yellow explosion thing behind the title, too, so it's more like, Food Fight!
Yeah, very quick. It is. You can find it on YouTube if you look hard enough.
Yeah.
All you gotta do, I searched it last night. As long as you type Food Fight as one word, which I didn't realize was one word, you'll find it.
You can come up. It is a ripoff of Toy Story, where instead of toys coming to life, it's all supermarket mascots coming to life. Running to a supermarket at night.
And it's got some names in this cast.
Yeah. It certainly does. And it has a legendary backstory. If you Google Food Fight, like the behind the
scenes.
Google, then Google Food Fight.
Yes, first
Google.com,
www. Make sure you're on the right Google.
www.google.
http://.
Search Google and then search Food Fight.
Search for Google. So that's going to be coming up next week, and I think that's it. That should bring this one to a close. Everyone, until next time, ?
Hi, podcaster.